Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Poppies, this is Lucy Mendez. You're listening to Wrestle Talk.
This is Travis Cook, America's evil genius, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk. And I'm awesome.
Hi, this is Billy McNeil, and you are listening to the Wrestle Talk podcast. Hey, Gary, I want my jacket back.
Nah, those guys are good.
This is the Outcast.
And the one and only Don Mega Shorty Biggs.
And we are the Plumbers Brothers.
The Plumbers Brothers, that's who we are. And you're listening to
Wrestle Talk.
Yeah, baby.
Work out there, man.
This is Mike Outlaw, and you're listening to Wrestle Talk, the best damn podcast there is.
My name is Dirty Jake Durden, and you're listening to Wrestle Talk.
You are listening to Wrestle Talk, the best damn podcast around, with wrestling news from WWE. Ring of Honor, TNA, Lucha Underground, and even the independent wrestling scene. Now sit back, open up your damn ears, and let's have fun. Remember, you can always call in 657-383-1521. Let's get this son of a bitch rolling.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another... What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk. Joe Lance here. Vic is not... What is going... Joe Lance here. Vic is not here. Stuff is already going crazy, ladies and gentlemen. Whenever Joe's the host, things seem to go a little bit crazy. But anyways... Let's get this show started. Before we start, let's bring in Renee. What is up?
Hey, what up, Joe, man? Hey, listen, everybody, I'm super duper excited this week. Wrestle Talk is live and coming through your speakers. Man, SummerSlam was amazing. Ring of Honor last week was incredible. Lucha Underground a couple of weeks ago. Unfortunately, my main man Rick Rhodes is not here today. He happens to find himself down in New Orleans handling some business, doing some big, big things, chasing his dream and going broke while doing it. And I know he's very proud of that. So hopefully if he's listening, Rick, we love you. We miss you, brother. We're going to do our best to uphold the Wrestle Talk tradition and kick some ass. Joe, how are you doing this evening, my friend?
You know, it has been an amazing weekend for me. I won the WWE Universe Unified / ECW Chapters ECW United States Champion. I'm the first ECW United States Champion, so that's a huge thing. And I've also won the WrestleTalk Championship once again. So I'm doing excellent this week.
Well, I'm super happy to hear that, Joe. I know that you went through a very, very difficult, hard-fought match against the one and only Rick Rose Revolution, Mr. Deadman, a.k.a. Bacon himself. There was a guy in the match known as Melvin the Insane One who was also there. And, you know, Joe, from what I understand, you went through a lot of hell in order to earn those championships. I know we'll get into a little bit of Junify chat here after 8 o'clock, so tune in for that. But I can tell you this, Joe. The road only gets harder because as the WrestleTalk champ and as the WWE Universe Unified / ECW champ, the work has just begun, my friend. You now have a target on your back, and I hope you're ready for that, my man. I hope you're ready because it's about a shitstorm's about to hit, and I hope you got your umbrella.
Oh, I am definitely ready. Before we get into some I would like to say to Justin Time that we at WrestleTalk are deeply saddened to hear about your loss in your family, and WrestleTalk is definitely thinking about you tonight.
Yeah, definitely, Justin. You know, you and I became friends recently on Facebook, and I've been a fan of yours from the first time I heard you on Wrestle Talk. And you know, a loss is always very, very challenging, but in particular when it hits that close to home. We hope, Justin, that you're listening and that you know that we have you in our hearts, our minds, and our prayers. And we definitely hope to hear you on the air sometime soon. Whenever you're ready to come back, my man, the door is always open. So nothing but respect to one half of the Covey Pro Tag Team Champions, Justin Time.
Yes, sir. All right, so why don't we go in order? Why don't we start off with NXT TakeOver? Man, what a freaking show. Every match was just phenomenal. I loved every part of that show. I mean, from the Vlog Villains winning the tag team championship to Bayley finally winning the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship to seeing Justin Thunder Liger wrestle in the WWE for the first time. It was an amazing, and you can't even forget about the ladder match between Kevin Owens and Finn Balor. Oh, my God.
Dude,
what did you think about it?
That freaking show was incredible. And I have to say this, okay? I know sometimes I fall victim to the time, and the most recent thing is what has me the most excited, man. But this has got to be the best NXT show that I ever saw. And listen, the outcomes of the matches didn't really go the way that I wanted them to go, but man, this show was absolutely incredible. The WWE continues to raise the stakes, and just like Joey Styles said yesterday on Twitter, NXT is what the rebuilt WWE version of ECW should have been. It should have been all about wrestling. It should have been all about the wrestlers, not what it actually ended up turning into. And, man, every time NXT comes on, I get excited, bro. It was a damn good show, and I can't wait for this week's show of NXT because they believe that a couple of good matches already lined out. But let's go over the NXT show and give me your thoughts, Joe.
The first match was Justin Thunder Liger against Tyler Breeze. To me, that was the match of the night because I love Justin Thunder Liger, and just to see him wrestle, you know, somebody like Tyler Breeze, and you know, how fast-paced it was, and he hit the Liger bomb, and I was really, really, really excited about that match. For me, that was one of the matches of the night. Justin Thunder Liger ended up winning the match, which was even better. So what did you think about it?
Well, I thought it was great. You know, I'd never seen Jushin Liger before. I only heard of him because of the build-up going into the NXT show. Those hardcore wrestling fans out there that are going to criticize me for not knowing anything about New Japan, go ahead and have your fun, make fun of me. But I just never had a chance to see him in the past. I definitely enjoyed him, and, you know, it surprised me how well he worked the crowd. You know, being a guy that has wrestled most of his career, I know, in WCW and in Japan, I was surprised to see how well he went over with the crowd. And maybe it was because everybody just hates Tyler Breeze. But to be honest, man, it was great to see. it was great to see him, and anybody out there, whether it was for the WrestleTalk picks or for the WWE Universe Unified ECW chapter picks, whoever picked Tyler Breeze out there, shame on you. And I know there was at least two people within the group that picked Tyler Breeze, and I don't know, either you're not paying attention or you purposely wanted to lose. Because honestly, anybody who picked Tyler Breeze just didn't know what the hell they were doing. Straight up shoot.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I like Tyler Breeze, and you know, I can't wait for when he debuts on the main roster, because I think that his gimmick would work good on the main roster, especially with somebody like Dolph Ziggler. I think that would be awesome.
Well, let me ask you this, Joe, and I'm jumping ahead here a little bit, but I am curious because I know you're a wrestling connoisseur. You're a guy that takes your wrestling very serious. If you took Tyler Breeze's gimmick and compared it to Dalton Castle's gimmick from Ring of Honor, who would you give it to? Because I think that their gimmicks are really similar, but I think one guy does it better than the other. What would you say if I said to you, compare Dalton Castle to Tyler Breeze? Because they have a lot of similarities.
I would have to say that I like Dalton Castle's gimmick more. I think that he
fits a
lot more than what Tyler Breeze does. I mean, Tyler Breeze, he has the good gimmick, but Dalton, he has the guys that come out with it, the Peacocks, and it's just, his gimmick is just down pat, and I like that gimmick, actually.
Okay, sorry for taking us off track here, but I was just curious about that because when I see Tyler Breeze and when I see Dalton Castle, I'm like, that's the same guy, except Dalton Castle, who should not be quite as good as Tyler Breeze because he's in Ring of Honor versus NXT, just does it that much better.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
So the next match we have is Apollo Crews against Ty Dillinger, which this was Crews' NXT televised debut. For some reason, my internet had screwed up, so I did not get to see that match. How was that match? That was the only match I did not get to see on the NXT TakeOver.
Well, let me tell you something, man. I did get an opportunity to see it. I was very, very fortunate. We were actually hanging out over at Side Pockets in Lee Summit, Missouri, playing pool, having a good time. We had our phones and our tablets set up because we're that obsessed with wrestling that even when we're supposed to out be doing other stuff, we're still paying attention. Plus, we had an NXT UFC Live Challenge going on. I actually enjoyed the hell out of that match. I did a little bit of research about Apollo Crews. I went back and saw a couple of his old matches just from kind of the indies or whatnot. The guy is super-duper talented. And what's really surprising is that even Ty Dillinger has picked up a little bit of steam. He's doing the 10, 10, 10. He's doing that 10 gimmick, and even that's picking up a little bit of steam. But as far as in-ring work, Joe, man, Apollo Crews is two or three levels ahead of Ty Dillinger. The match was really, really exciting, and it's awesome because Apollo gives you that really, really rare mix of agility and strength, kind of like a really agile Bobby Lashley kind of thing he has going on. And he's so charismatic. The guy has a smile that's worth $1 million. He wins you over from the moment that you see him. The first time that he talks, you're going to definitely buy into his gimmick. To me, man, he's got the makings of an ultimate babyface, man. So if Apollo can keep it up and he can keep winning and he can be having good, strong, solid matches like he did at NXT Brooklyn, I think, man, there's definitely, definitely good things for him in the future, no matter where he goes, whether he stays in UFC, NXT for a while, or he jumps up to the main roster relatively quickly like Kevin Owens did.
Okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to go back and check out that match. We also had the NXT Tag Team title match, the Vlog Villains with Blue Pants against Blake and Murphy, and oh god, I can't remember that the woman that's with Blake and Murphy. For some reason, I can't.
Alexa Bliss.
Oh my god, that was an I loved that match. I like the Vlog Villains myself. I think that it's a good gimmick. I'm not sure if it would work on the main roster, but I think that for NXT, the Vlog Villains finally won the NXT championship after trying for I don't know how many tag team title matches that they've had. And I actually enjoyed that match. What were your thoughts on that match?
Man, Joe, man, for puss and a whiner and a baby after you hear my opinion about this match. But that's okay because I'm going to be honest. This is WrestleTalk. We pull no punches. We shoot straight from the freaking hip here on WrestleTalk, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, Joe, do you have the phone number so people can call in and help us work our way through the show and all these matches? Can you drop that on them before I move into?
Yes. If you would like to call in, we would love to hear your opinions on NXT, Monday Night Raw, SummerSlam, yo. The number for you to call is 657-383-1521. That's 657-383-1521.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're like a really fat and ugly van away. You're fantastic. thank you. Hey, that is the most backhanded compliment I've ever given. You're welcome.
Exactly.
Okay, so on to the match. Okay, so the Von Villains did a fantastic job. They'd been gone for a little while, for about a month, maybe 4 to 5 weeks. They were off the NXT program, and they came back. They picked up a lot of steam real quick, kind of like, you know what it reminds me of? When PTP, the Primetime Players, came back, you hadn't really seen them for a while. Darren Young went and got in shape, started, you know, came back. They were kicking some ass, and they had a good little steam behind them, and then they became the WWE Tag Team Champions. Let me tell you why I don't like what happened with the Von Villains, okay? The team that should rightfully be the Tag Team Champions right now is Enzo and Cass. That's right. Ooh. I said it. That's right. I said it. Enzo and Cass. Ladies and gentlemen, if you pay attention to NXT, you know that there has been no team that has been as hot or as on fire or as over with the fans as Enzo and Cass. They had the rug pulled out from under them by Alexa Bliss no more than a couple of weeks ago at the last NXT Live show, and all of a sudden they start losing to Justin Jordan and Justin Gable, whatever the hell their name is. I don't understand it, Joe. I have nothing against the Von Villains. What I don't like is that they were out for 4 to 5 weeks. They came back for a couple of weeks, picked up some steam, and now all of a sudden they're the tag team champions? I mean, I don't really appreciate that. It's the same thing with PCP. I like PCP. They're a good team. But you don't put them on the shelf for 3 months, get them to come back for a couple of Monday Night Raw, get them hot, and then just make them the tag champs. That upsets me. I don't know what it is that the WWE thinks that they're doing, but for people like me that pay attention, I respect hard work. And for those guys to be off for that long, come back for a couple of weeks and win the belt, kind of like PCP did, makes me upset. Nothing against PCP, nothing against the Von Villains, but a team like Enzo and Cass has been in, week out. They're over. They've got a hell of a gimmick. And the fact that they have not even – they weren't even in the pay-per-view, really. I mean, they had that match against whoever. I don't even know if they were in the damn NXT match. But it just makes me upset, and I'm happy for the Von Villains. They did work real hard for a long time, but I just don't get the timing of it. And I really think that after Alexa Bliss screwed them a couple of weeks ago, that they would have got a rematch or something. All of a sudden, they got pushed back to the end of the line, and I really don't like that, honestly. So forgive me. I know you're upset with me for disagreeing. But, hey, bottom line is Enzo and Cass should be the tag team champs right now, and they're not, and it's a damn shame, Joe.
Well, you know, I would have to actually agree with you. I myself am
really
a big fan of Enzo and Cass, and I could see them as the tag team champions, and hopefully in due time they'll get their shot against the Raw Villains, and you know, hopefully they'll be tag team champions. You never know what can happen on NXT.
Agreed.
The next match we had was Samoa Joe versus Baron Corbin. You know, you may not like me this, but I really wasn't too much into that match. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's just seeing Samoa Joe wrestle so many times, I'm tired of seeing him wrestle. I just was not into that match. Samoa Joe ended up winning with the Kimura Lock. No, not the Kimura Lock. His submission move. I can't remember the name of it.
I can't remember it either. Yeah, that was definitely a match that was not memorable. I think it was kind of sad, honestly, the way that they're treating Joe. I would have thought that he was going to get the Kevin Owens treatment. I thought they were going to put a rocket pack on his back, you know, let him run through a couple of NXT guys, and automatically he'd be up on the main roster. And it just seems like they're giving him the Rhino treatment, Joe. And I really don't get it. Samoa Joe's got a lot of talent. I know he's not a spring chicken. He's got some years under his belt, but ultimately, I mean, what are you doing? You're putting Joe up against a bunch of guys that are either too green, like Baron Corbin, and Baron Corbin's got a damn bright future hailing straight out of the one and only Kansas City. I know some of our listeners out there are from Kansas City, so they'll be able to appreciate that. But I don't think that that match did a service to anyone. I don't think it put Joe over enough to justify him being the top or the number one contender for the NXT title, nor did it do Baron Corbin any favors, because what Baron Corbin's been doing for the last 6 to 8 weeks is walks in the ring, hits end of days, walks out. He hasn't really had any matches for 2 months, so all of a sudden he goes into a match with Joe that was a pretty decent match, not anything spectacular. All of a sudden he loses to Joe. Where does Joe go from here? Is he the number one contender for the NXT title? And what happens to Baron Corbin? So the match itself wasn't that awe-inspiring, and the fact that we don't really know where they're going with it makes it that much worse. So I got to kind of agree with you there. As much as I like Baron Corbin and Samoa Joe, this was just not a good matchup, and it just kind of was very uninteresting, to be honest.
Exactly. And speaking of Baron Corbin, I don't know if Rick has told you this story, but there was a funny story with Rick and Baron Corbin. Rick was at a Metro Pro show. It was the same one that Christopher Daniels was at. And
was that the one where I stole? Was that the one where I stole Rick's feet?
It may have been. It may have been. But Rick walked past this guy, and the guy looks at him and tells him, "You got a great." He tells him he had a nice shirt on. He had his Kevin Steen shirt. So Rick, he gives him the thumbs up and walks away, and then he realizes at the end of the night that that was actually Baron Corbin.
Really, Rick?
And he did not talk to him about coming on to WrestleTalk. So it's something that I always pick with Rick about the time that he blew Baron Corbin off.
That's hilarious. I actually happened to be at that same show, and I had about a 2 or 3 minute conversation with Baron Corbin, took a picture with him and everything. Down-to-earth guy, and I'm sure if Rick would have noticed beforehand that it was Baron Corbin, he could have easily walked up to the guy, requested an interview, and just the way that he treated me, I'm sure Baron Corbin would have not had any issues with coming on the best podcast there is. So, unfortunately, it's a missed opportunity, but I'm not going to hold it over Rick, because those Metro Pro shows are so crazy, so hectic, sometimes it's easy to kind of get lost in the shuffle. But damn, it would have been fantastic to have Baron Corbin in, because I do believe that he has a very, very bright future, regardless of what happened to him at this last show against Samoa Joe.
Definitely, definitely. Now, next match is, in my opinion, was another match of the night. And it's crazy that I'm saying this, but it's a match of the night, and it was the NXT Women's Championship match. And I will tell you why I'm telling you it's the match of the night. It's because you don't see very often the emotion that you saw when Bayley won that championship. When she won that championship and everybody was in there hugging her, the raw emotion completely took over. And I thought that was absolutely an awesome, awesome match. What were your thoughts about that match?
Man, what can I say? I mean, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and it's all coming to fruition. The NXT Divas, the ones that are on the main roster, and Bayley, who is on her way to the main roster, have legitimately revolutionized women's wrestling now and into the future. And the last missing piece of the puzzle, in my opinion, was for Bayley to go over. And she went over, and it was absolutely magnificent. I was genuinely emotional and just purely excited, because I knew, and you can just tell, that Bayley had been dreaming about this since she was a little girl. And for her to get this opportunity, Joe, man, it was just awesome. It was one of those moments that kind of gives you chills, one of those moments that you remember as a wrestling fan for many, many years. Man, I could not have been happier about the fact that Bayley went over, and she went over clean on Sasha, who's probably a superior wrestler, but she worked her ass off so hard that when she won, you didn't feel like she didn't really deserve it. You were like, wow, you know what? Sasha's probably a little bit better, but Bayley works just as hard as anybody else, and it was just fantastic, man. I don't know where they're going with it. Maybe the Dana Brooke thing starts coming out to fruition. Maybe Emma, somebody else, maybe even Blue Pants. I don't know. But it was just great to see Bayley finally get to the point where she's the NXT Divas champion. And it's been a long time coming. And honestly, Joe, I don't think anybody who won a championship over the weekend, SummerSlam included, deserved that belt more than Bayley, man. That's a shoot.
Oh, I totally agree. And like I said, you know, the Raw emotion kicked in, and you could tell that she was excited about winning, and it was a great moment, and you know that's basically the best thing about it. And finally, we have the NXT Championship match, ladder match, Kevin Owens against Finn Balor. You know, that to me was the match of the night. I completely love that match. Of course, I am a sucker for ladder matches. I love ladder matches. I just love the brutality of it, you know, the high flying of it, you know, the falling off of the ladder. And when Finn hit that double stomp off of the ladder, I was like, wow. That to me was the match of the night. Of course, Finn Balor ended up winning the match and retaining his title, which I kind of figured that he would with how they've been using Kevin Owens in the main roster. I didn't think that they were going to have Kevin Owens win the NXT Championship again. But to me, it was a really, really, really good match. What were your thoughts on the match?
Well, as far as this match goes, I do have to say, Joe, that I believe the first match was a little bit better, okay? Just because it wasn't something that we'd seen before. We'd never seen Kevin and Finn in the same ring before. But with that said, this was definitely a kick-ass match, and I must say that it was probably the match of the night. So as much as I could sit here and tell you, hey, I wish it would have been as good as the first one, which holds true in my opinion, it was a damn good match. And what I really liked is that we got to see a different element of Finn Balor, because every other Finn Balor match that I watched pretty much all goes the same. Finn Balor impresses you with his athleticism. Finn Balor impresses you with his timing. But in this match, when you had the ladder component, and it kind of made him a little bit more aggressive, it kind of made him a little bit more of a badass, knowing that, hey, if he needs to pull out all the stops and use a ladder to get a win, he's willing to do that. And the fact that he was that close to pulling that belt down at that one moment towards the third quarter of the match, if we want to break it down that way. And the fact that he went back down for that second coup de grace, dude, I was like, yes, Finn, don't only be Kevin Owens, rip his freaking heart out and show that you are the NXT champion, dude. And he did that, and I was very, very impressed, man. Definitely the match of the night. I loved it, but with that being said, I don't think it was quite as good as the first one.
Gotcha. I would have to agree. It wasn't as good as the first one, but it was still the match of the night. So that was NXT. Now we're going to get into SummerSlam. Now my question to you, and you can shoot from the hip, do you think that NXT TakeOver was better or was SummerSlam better?
Oh, gee. Oh, Joe, that's a loaded question. I'll do my best to answer it. No. NXT TakeOver was not as good as SummerSlam. Were there certain matches in NXT that I enjoyed better for the pure sake of wrestling? Yes, I definitely enjoyed the Kevin Owens-Finn Balor match a lot more than I enjoyed Ryback, Miz, and Big Show. Okay? So from that perspective, yes, there were some pretty sweet matches in NXT that probably were better than the SummerSlam matches, but I'm still a wrestling mark. I always will be. And when you put that many big names into a pay-per-view and have matches like the ones that we saw at SummerSlam, I cannot in my right mind, even though I'm a couple of beers in now, tell you that I genuinely believe that NXT was better than SummerSlam. I just can't do it. I can't.
I would have to agree with you. There were things in NXT that I liked more than I liked SummerSlam, but I cannot say that NXT was better than SummerSlam. So let's get into SummerSlam. The first match we had was Sheamus against Randy Orton. It was an okay match. I'm kind of tired of seeing Sheamus against Randy Orton. Like, how many times can we see Sheamus against Randy Orton? Like, Randy Orton beat him the first time, Sheamus beat him. This time, you know, I'm kind of over the whole Sheamus-Randy Orton thing myself. It was an okay match with Sheamus going over. What were your thoughts on that match?
You know what, Joe? On one hand, I agree with you. I'm tired of seeing Sheamus and Orton. It's been done. Both the guys have been around for a long time. Sheamus, I think, has been around the company for 6-7 years, maybe even longer than that. Randy's been around for over 10 years. I think, though, for what it was, I think it was a good kickoff match. I think it was a good way for those people that were still in line getting their sodas and popcorn to be able to, you know, finish doing what they were doing, catch the tail end of that match, because ultimately, when you watch a Randy versus Sheamus match, you're waiting for the Brogue or the RKO out of nowhere. You're waiting for the Brogue or you're waiting for the RKO out of nowhere. So, knowing that it is what it is, and I do appreciate old-school physical wrestling, it is a little nauseating to see the same two guys in the ring, but that does not stop me from getting excited and waiting and letting that anticipation build, which they did a pretty good job of building it, because you know that that match was either going to end it with a Brogue or an RKO. They did a pretty good job of building that anticipation. So, considering who it was, considering we see those guys in the ring 100 times together, I think they did a pretty decent job. But at the same time, it was SummerSlam. It was a little uninspiring. And the fact that Sheamus won just kind of was like, eh, because they've been burying him for the last couple of weeks. He's been losing to everybody, considering he's a Money in the Bank contract holder. So I'm guessing what I really took out of this match, aside from the finish, because the two bros was kind of cool, was, okay, now Sheamus is starting to round into shape. He won the Money in the Bank. They buried him a couple of times after that. So now he's got his big win at SummerSlam. What happens next? Now, with this win, you can seriously start considering some sort of a cash-in or something involving Sheamus and Seth Rollins somewhere near down the road. You know what I mean? Now that he's got that big win over Randy. So as much as I would love to say that this was my favorite match of the night, it definitely wasn't, but it makes me excited now that Sheamus went over and the possibilities with the Money in the Bank. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I would have to agree. The next match was the tag team match, and I actually kind of enjoyed this match. It was the New Day against the Primetime Players, against the Lucha Dragons, against the Los Matadores, and I had picked the Primetime Players because I thought they were going to retain their titles. And, of course, the New Day pulled it off. And there was some controversy on if Kofi Kingston had actually tagged in or not. That was the only match that I had lost in my picks. And, you know, I was really hoping for the Primetime Players, but the New Day pulled it off and, you know, I can't say that I'm upset that the New Day pulled it off, because I kind of like the New Day. So I was happy. But what were your thoughts about it?
I can't believe I'm about to say this, Joe. I cannot believe I'm about to say this. The New Day is actually starting to win me over.
Oh, wow.
I know we're going to talk about this later on. But their gimmick is so entertaining.
It is.
They come out with trumpets. They come out with little harmonica things. I don't know what the hell they're doing, but when they come on the TV, I want to watch those guys.
Yes.
They're silly. They're goofy. It's kind of weird because, you know, Kofi's always been the babyface. Big E's always kind of been a tweener, more babyface than anything else, and Xavier Woods always been kind of one of those kind of guys. But together they have this dynamic, and it's really, really interesting. It's fun. And they're so lighthearted that it's hard to hate them. You know, they are heels, but for some reason I just find myself clapping and laughing watching them do all these ridiculous things. So, believe it or not, I actually did go with the New Day for our WWE Universe Unify / ECW chapter group picks, and it worked out tremendously for me. And I'm glad that I did it. You know why? Because I'm actually starting to like those guys, and they won the freaking match. The match itself I think was pretty good. I think that what gets lost in the shuffle is the Lucha Dragons, because the Lucha Dragons are a hell of a damn team. their yes. wrestling acumen is probably the best of any tag team right now, aside from maybe the Usos and the Dudleys, which I know we'll get into a little bit later.
Yes.
Over. But as entertaining as New Day is, I'm happy that they won, and it was a hell of an entertaining match. They had a bunch of cool high spots, especially when Big E dove through the ropes, dude. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. I never seen Big E do something like that. He did it. And I actually retweeted it on Twitter because it was amazing. So, good match, man. It was really entertaining. I'm glad the New Day pulled it off.
It was. The next match was Dolph Ziggler with Lana against Rusev with Summer Rae. It was your classic Dolph Ziggler-Rusev match. Rusev is the powerhouse, and just when you think Dolph Ziggler is done, he comes back and ended up being a double countout. It was a pretty entertaining match. You know, you had Rusev hitting his big moves. I think it's going to set up another match in the pay-per-view, probably with the Dolph and Lana against Rusev and Summer Rae. Probably the next pay-per-view. Who knows? It was an okay match. What were your thoughts about it?
Yeah, you know, I love Rusev, I love Ziggler, but I just don't think there's any chemistry there. They turned this whole rivalry into kind of a goofball thing with the girls. I think it could have been much, much better than what they're doing with it, though I do like seeing Lana as a babyface. The outfit that she came in last night was awe-inspiring. It was awe-inspiring, but honestly, aside from Lana's entrail, and the little back and forth that her and Summer Rae had, I mean, was there really a memorable moment in this match?
One doesn't come to mind.
I mean, I like both guys. They're both great. It's just there was nothing in that match that made me go, wow, that was sweet, other than the ladies.
I would have to agree. The ladies kind of took over. So, next match was Stephen Amell with Neville against Stardust and King Barrett. I think pretty much everybody picked Stephen Amell and Neville. It was a good match. I did not expect Stephen Amell to be in the match as much as he was. He got the shit beat out of him, but he kept going, and he ended up diving off of the top rope. And you know, it was a damn entertaining match. Actually, I was not expecting it to be as entertaining. I was thinking Neville was going to do most of the work and he was going to come in like towards the end, but that was not how it was. So it was pretty entertaining. What were your thoughts about it?
Dude, that dive that Amell did to the outside. I'm like, bro, you're rich. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But he took the dive and it was freaking awesome, man. And I mean, what can I say, man? Cody Rhodes, a.k.a. Stardust, is a phenomenal worker. His character it has so many layers. Those people who don't like Stardust aren't paying attention. If you sit and watch and listen to his promos, the guy is just so creative. He's so outside the box. He's so unlike anything we've ever seen. I really, really enjoy it. And he's always been great in the ring. I mean, it's Dusty Rhodes' son, for God's sake. And then you add in Neville, the man that gravity forgot, who, I mean, I've run out of superlatives to describe Neville because of how talented he is on every single, I mean, wasn't it more than, how long ago was it, Joe, that he had that match against Rollins where he pretty much won it and Rollins, you know, put his foot up on the rope? Was that last Monday or the Monday before that?
It was the Monday before.
Well, there you go. He is so damn good that he can step into the ring with a guy like Seth Rollins and hold his own. So, genuinely speaking, I mean, he's really incredible. So, the combination of Amell, Neville, Stardust, Barrett, I don't know what the hell they're doing with him. I think they're wasting a lot of good talent there. But it was definitely entertaining because of all those things that I've brought up already. But most of all, it was great to see Amell take a bump like that. I know he's a young guy. He's definitely physically capable of doing it. But guys like that don't usually come in. I mean, Wolverine didn't do that when he came. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely happy to see that the celebrities are coming in and making more of an impact. And I know we'll get to Jon Stewart here in a little bit. But it was definitely entertaining for the fact that Amell was willing to go outside the box and do something that we haven't seen from a lot of celebrities before. So I give that match a 2 thumbs up for sure.
Exactly, exactly. The next match was your Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose against the Wyatt family. You know, it was an okay match. You know, you got Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. I like them both better as singles wrestlers than tag team wrestlers. But, you know, for the match that it was an okay match. And, of course, more of it played out last night, which we'll get into that later. That big, freaking, huge guy that's in the Wyatt family now. We'll get into that later. But other than that, I think that the part I liked most about that was the fact where they played off where Reigns was knocked out on the outside and Ambrose had to pretty much face both guys by himself. I kind of liked that, but that was just me. What did you think about it?
Honestly, man, I thought it was a damn good match. And I agree with you. I like them better as singles competitors, but they do have a chemistry together, and the chemistry I think benefits Roman more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been a guy from the very first day that I ever stepped in WrestleTalk. I'm a guy that likes to watch progression. I'm one of those guys that will see a rookie in football or basketball and just kind of follow his career and see how he progresses. Roman Reigns happens to be that guy for me in wrestling, in particular WWE. He continues to show that his ring skill is not even, he's not even scratched the surface yet, Joe. I mean, this guy can do anything in the ring that he wants to do. Now, his mat game needs a little bit of work. He's moved away from the super high spot fest because all it was Superman punch, spear. Now he's doing inverted Samoan drops. He's doing inverted pump handle slams. He's, you know, he's even got into a submission move, I believe, last night with Bray Wyatt for a brief moment. And so I'm really enjoying the progression of Roman Reigns. And even his might work has improved. Is he Rocky Maivia? Is he the Rock yet? No, and maybe he never will be. But it's nice to see him progress. And when you team him up with Dean Ambrose and put them up against such a formidable team like Luke and Bray, good things are going to happen. I definitely think the match lacked a little bit as far as what the match actually meant. There were no titles on the line, no number one contenders on the line for the tag team title. So aside from that, I think it was a pretty damn good match. I just would have liked there to be a little bit more on the line other than just this personal grudge between the two teams because we've seen them fight each other a million times already. So as much as I enjoyed the match, I wish there would have been a little bit more for me to sink my teeth into, so I would have been a little bit more invested in the match.
Yes, I would have to agree. Now, the next match was, in my opinion, the shocker of the night. Seth Rollins against John Cena. I did not expect Seth Rollins to walk out with both belts. I figured that, you know, they were going to have, you know, somebody be disqualified or something. I did not expect him to walk out with both belts. And he actually did make history because he is holding the U.S. title and the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at the same time. And, you know, I got to give it up to both guys because they put on a hell of a match. It was a lot of moves and a lot of kickouts, and hell, he even put John Cena in his own attitude adjustment. I mean, it was just, I actually really, really, really enjoyed that match, and I will say when Seth Rollins won that match, I did kind of mark out just a little bit, just a little bit. What were your thoughts?
Well, I got a lot of thoughts on this match, and I'll do my best to keep them brief. Okay, so let me just preface all this by saying this. John Cena haters, tune in to this. You're wrong. You are wrong, wrong, wrong. Every single match that John Cena has had since last year when he fought Bray in that last man standing match has been gold. I know he botched a springboard stunner. I know he kicked out at 2 3/4. I know that, you know, whatever you want to throw at John Cena, God, this guy makes every single match that he's in be entertaining. Now, I wish they wouldn't give him the microphone as much as they do. But as far as what the guy's doing in the ring, has he ever been better, Joe? Have you ever seen a better John Cena than the John Cena you've seen over the last 6 months?
I cannot say. I can say that I have not.
I mean, that's basically the first thing I want to get off my chest. Secondly, as far as this match goes, here's what I saw. I actually made this comment to a couple of people. This is what I saw coming. I saw John Cena winning, lights go out, cue the Kane music. Kane comes out in the old Kane outfit with the mask and all that jazz, pretends to go after Seth, and then, boom, hits John Cena with the chokeslam, tombstone, or whatever. It just so happened. I swear, I said this to a couple of people before the show even happened. It just so happens that they like my idea, but they thought it was a better idea to use John Stewart in the place of Kane. It was the strangest thing, because I was like, John Stewart? Like, I wasn't surprised because of what they were doing to John, because I kind of saw it coming. I was just surprised that it was John Stewart. And so, like I said, I kind of saw it coming, but didn't see it coming the way that they did it, and I thought that they made it really, really cool, because, again, these celebrities are getting more and more involved in what's happening in the ring, and I think that's a good thing for the WWE. We're getting a ton of ES exposure, ESPN exposure, Rolling Stone exposure, and the more you bring guys like that in, the better it is for the company. Not to mention that you finally have a heel that people love to hate. To me, I love what Seth Rollins is doing. I think that what he does in the ring is hard to match, but what he does outside the ring with his promos, you genuinely want to hate the guy. He reminds me of Piper a little bit. A little bit of Shawn Michaels in the ring, a little bit of Piper outside the ring, because he does not give a damn how you feel. And he can go out there and legitimately cut a 10-minute promo and keep your attention. So as far as the match overall, great freaking match, incredible ending, and nothing but respect to both guys, because, man, it was hard for me to blink during this match, Joe. It really, really was.
Yes. I would have to agree. The next match we got was the Divas match, Team PCB against the Team Bella against Team Bad. You know, it was another great Divas match. You know, we've seen these three teams, you know, go at it, you know, multiple times before. I'm just wondering when they're going to have Charlotte go up against Nikki for the Divas Championship. I'm thinking it's probably going to be after she breaks AJ Lee's record for holding the championship the longest, which I think is complete bullshit. I'm sorry, I don't agree with her holding the title that long just so that they can beat AJ Lee because they're pissed off at CM Punk. But that's just my opinion. It was a pretty good match. It's a match we've seen, you know, a couple times before Charlotte and them ended up winning. What were your thoughts about it?
Well, this is all I got to say. I thought it was a damn good match. I agree with you. I can't wait to see Charlotte and Nikki. But here's what I don't understand, Joe. They made it an elimination match. For what? So that they could kick Team Bad out halfway through the match and just let it be the Bellas versus PCB? I mean,
yeah. They
might as well not even had Team Bad in the match. I love Team Bad. I love Naomi. I definitely love Sasha. And Tamina does her job. I just don't understand what the logic is between having this elimination match and kicking one of the teams out so early that it essentially becomes a tag team match or a tag triple threat tag or whatever the hell you want to call it, 3-on-3 tag match. I didn't really get it. The finish I think was pretty good, but it's not something that we haven't seen before. I guess I had a hard time wrapping my mind around this match because I didn't understand what they were trying to do with Team Bad, and I think PCB going over was somewhat predictable only because there was nothing really on the line other than bragging rights. Now, had it been a title match of some sort, I think Bellas would have took it just because I think Bellas still have a little bit more time at the top as the other teams progress and start to coagulate. But, again, what happened with Team Bad? I mean, why did they kick them out of the match halfway through? I don't understand it. It's like they're trying to bury them. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Because, I mean, Team Bad is a hell of a team, and it just seems like either PCB is going over or Team Bella is going over, while Team Bad is just being pushed to the back burner, which I hope that changes, because I like Team Bad. That's just my opinion. Oh,
agreed.
The next match we had was the Kevin Owens against Cesaro. I loved that match. I'm a big Kevin Owens fan, and for Kevin Owens being as big of a guy that he is a hell of a high flyer. Like, he'll do dives and you know, his cannonballs, and he's just, and Kevin Owens is, in my opinion, one of the top wrestlers today. That's just my opinion. You may not agree, but I thought that was a great match, and I loved the finish, the move off of the top rope. It was just an awesome, awesome, awesome match. We all thought it was going to be awesome, and it was everything I hoped it was going to be. What were your thoughts?
Well, honestly, I can't stop being impressed by both Kevin Owens and Cesaro.
Yes.
I cannot stop being impressed by what those guys do in the ring. First and foremost, props to Kevin Owens for holding it down for the chubby guys. I love you, Kevin. You make me feel special. He does a hell of a job of making me feel like I can actually do something. And let me tell you something. A couple of weeks ago, I cut a promo in the backyard back here for our wrestling group with King Jarobi, who may be calling in here after a little while. And bumps suck, dude. They really suck. And I don't care how fucky you are, it still hurts when you take a bump. And the fact that Kevin Owens has the ability to do what he does and make it look so effortless. I mean, he's got this one move where he's standing on the second rope, jumps, kind of hops up to the top rope, and does this moonsault. And I'm like, yo, is that Jeff Hardy or Kevin Owens? I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. And then the strength of Cesaro, every single time I see this guy in a match, he impresses me. He's been impressing me for a long time. I mean, if you think about it, it wasn't too long ago that he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania. And since then, I think Cesaro has been on a hot streak. I don't think WWE has recognized it as well as the fans have. But now, as unfortunate as what happened to Tyson Kidd is, now that Cesaro is actually getting that push, guess what? He's freaking over. The Brooklyn crowd loved him, dude. They loved him to death, and I can't wait to see what they do with the Cesaro in the future, because this match was a kick-ass match for those wrestling purists who tune in to WWE to see wrestling. We don't see enough of it. Many people would tell you that. But listen, this match, if you wanted some damn good wrestling, that was the match for you. I definitely enjoyed the match, Joe. And give me more Kevin Owens and a double-sided Cesaro every freaking week, dude. I am going to be cool with it if you do.
Exactly. I would have to agree with you. And the final match, which ended in a lot of controversy, was The Undertaker against Brock Lesnar. Man, how much of an impact was that match? It was like they did literally everything. Undertaker went through tables, and he got hit with, what, two or three F5s, and, you know, it was a great... I can't say it was a great match, but it was a good match. And I especially liked the ending because it added even more to Brock Lesnar against The Undertaker, because we all saw The Undertaker tap out, but, of course, he tapped out on the side that the referee wasn't on, so the referee didn't see it, and the timekeeper saw it, so he rings the bell, you know, kind of distracting Brock Lesnar and the referee, and then Brock Lesnar turns around and gets hit with the Hell's Gate and ends up, he didn't tap out, but he passed out giving the Undertaker
no, he did not.
finger. He passed out giving the Undertaker the middle finger. There was blood. The Undertaker, I was really impressed with the Undertaker. He looked a lot better in this match than in the first time that they wrestled at WrestleMania. I would have to say I enjoyed this one a lot more than the match at WrestleMania. When he wrestled at WrestleMania, for some reason it just seemed like something was off during that match. And we now know that he had gotten a concussion, and that's pretty much what was wrong. You know, he got a concussion. He didn't, you know, he couldn't do hardly anything because of the concussion. So I was really happy with the way The Undertaker worked this match. Like I said, the controversy. What were your thoughts about it?
I'm all over the place on this one, Joe. I guess all I can really say is this. Paul freaking Heyman, dude.
Yes.
What can't that guy do? I mean, go ahead.
Paul Heyman is just a master. He is just able to, the things that he can do on that microphone, he can make you love him, he can make you hate him. And, you know, when he gets on that microphone, you know that you are going to be entertaining. You know you're going to hear one hell of a promo. That's all I got to say about Paul Heyman.
Dude, and that's exactly the point that I was alluding to. Okay, so after the match ended, I personally did not know how to feel about it because it's almost like they're making Undertaker a heel and Brock a babyface, and that my mind doesn't want to accept that. Okay, but then Paul Heyman goes on the microphone, and by the time he's done, Joe, I'm legitimately pissed off that Undertaker didn't cop out and lose. I mean, he made me feel like fuck Undertaker, dude. Screw that big ball juggling, low blow hitting baby. Undertaker, like, I love Undertaker, but by the time Paul Heyman was done, I was ready to jump through a freaking window for Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar, and that sentiment carried over to Raw, and I know we're getting ready to talk about that here probably right after the break, but okay. I'm just like, Paul Heyman, you're freaking amazing. As far as the match goes, I think the match gave us everything we expected from a 50-plus-year-old Undertaker and a guy like Brock Lesnar who's in his prime. They did a lot of good stuff, a lot of awesome high spots, a lot of good drama. And, of course, the most memorable moment of the night, the Brock Lesnar / Undertaker laugh-off with a million – I think I've seen a million different memes, pictures,
yes,
and videos referencing that laugh. That was absolutely incredible. That was probably the WrestleMania moment, in my opinion. And I just thought it was absolutely hilarious how Undertaker totally came out of his shell. The guy barely smiles ever. I mean, as a matter of fact, you barely even get to see his face. And then he goes on and does some shit like that, dude. Everybody at the WWE Universe Unified / ECW watch party was rolling on the ground, cracking up, dude. It was so awesome. As intense as that match was, they gave us some comedy relief. And I love the match for a million different reasons. But that and Paul Heyman were the two main reasons that I love the match. It was artwork And now, as much as I was mad about this matchup, I'm actually excited to see the rubber match, no matter when it happens.
Exactly. I think that was it. No, I forgot about the Ryback match.
Skip it.
We gotta talk about it. It was there. I was not very impressed with this match. I don't like seeing Ryback and Big Show and The Miz. I don't think that they work. I'm not a big Ryback fan in the first place. I don't know why, but they're pushing him as hard as they are. That match gets my drizzling shit of the night match. Your thoughts?
What? I'm sorry, I fell asleep. Dude. That was my beer refill moment of the night. And I had several of those, but for the most part, my wife's taking care of that. I actually was willing to get up. Dude, here's the bottom line. This was a match that was made for Battleground. It was a Battleground match. It was a Battleground match that they drug into SummerSlam in order to fill a time slot. Yeah. I don't remember much about the match. I mean, I know Big Show had a high spot with the punch, and I really don't even have an opinion about this match. I just think they need to find Ryback a good partner, somebody that he can go dance with and make him look good and make the other guy look good. And at this point, it is most definitely not the Big Show or Miz. I'm sorry. Crappy match. It should have happened at Battleground. I know there was extenuating circumstances that didn't permit it to happen. But really, this match should not have been on a SummerSlam card, period. Plus, we all knew Ryback was going to win. I mean, that's what makes it worse.
Yeah.
It made no sense, dude. It sucked. It sucked.
I thought that the only thing that I may have liked about that match was when The Miz kept trying to pin Ryback, and then Ryback would kick out. So
all the back and forth.
And the Big Show would kick out. So first, it was like it was almost a three count and then a kick out, and then almost a three count and then a kick out, and then it was a two count and then a kick out, and then a two count, and then it was a one count. I thought that was pretty cool, but that was about it. Alright, let's go ahead and go to our break, and when we get back, we'll get into some Raw results. We're going to have the guys from Unified on, and we got all kinds of stuff we're going to be talking about. I'm telling you, these 2 hours go by really fast.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to play the same song we played last week, Flyleaf, and we'll be back in 2 minutes and 34 seconds. So we got a quick break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back once again. Renee, how was your 2 minute and 34 second break?
It was awesome, dude. Hey, listen, I'm fortunate, Joe. I happen to live, and this isn't just me talking, this is Discovery Channel, in one of the 50 places that you have to eat at before you die. It actually was number 7 on that list on Discovery Channel. It's a place that all of us here in Kansas City know as Oklahoma Joe's. It's since been renamed to Joe's Kansas City. Man, I just finished eating brisket and sausage with some coleslaw and some onion rings. And, dude, that was the best 2 minutes and 30 seconds of my life.
Nice, nice. I believe we have somebody from Unified on. Let's bring him on real quick. Area code 816785. Who are we talking to? You are live on Wrestle Talk.
Good evening, Wrestle Talk. It is your CEO of Unified. Checking in every Tuesday, as I should, representing the Unified chapter. How's everybody doing tonight? Emphasis on Unified.
I am doing fantabulous. When they're doing fantabulous. So what's been new in the Unified group since SummerSlam, CEO?
Well, obviously, as we discussed last week, we had our Unified SummerSlam pay-per-view. And I will be brief. I will announce the new and retaining champions from that night. So, daughters, I'd like to congratulate the man on the line right now, Mr. El Matas Ratas himself, for successfully retaining the Unified Heavyweight Championship and the Warrior's Heart Championship, becoming, once again, the longest reigning and defending champion in Unified to the date. Congratulations to you, Mr. El Matas Ratas.
Gracias, CEO. Muchas, muchas gracias.
In addition, for the first time in our group's history, one of our championships will be leaving out of state. That is right, ladies and gentlemen. Nene, a.k.a. the Voodoo Master, all the way from Florida, won the Intercontinental Championship last Sunday night. Congrats to him. He is also a La Familia member. Also that night, we had another winner in the UXT division, Kirk Malice, who again is also a La Familia member, won the UXT championship in a hard-fought battle. One of the most exciting matches, I believe, of the entire evening was the Divas Championship match. Ladies and gentlemen, the Queen of Extreme, Mary Bell, pulled through and took out Unified member Trick, to my dismay. But you know what? In reality, the Queen of Extreme works very hard at what she does. And hey, despite her methods in the past, she deserved the win. So, props to her. Also that night, I have to congratulate someone else who was also on the line. Joe, the man with the plan, a.k.a. Joe Nightmare, is now your first ever ECW United States Championship winner. Congratulations to you, Mr. Joe Nightmare. You got any words for us?
You know, it was a definitely hard-fought match. You know, it was the whole match, the whole card, I was sweating bullets because I lost that second match. But damn that Seth Rollins. You know, as soon as Seth Rollins won, the sweat went away, the smile started to come, and I realized exactly what was happening. And I could not hold back my excitement. But I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to jinx myself and screw myself with the next three matches. So I kind of partied to myself while the other matches were going. That's just me, though. I did tell everybody I was going to win, but nobody wanted to believe me, and sure enough, I won.
So, before I get on to my next point, you do realize you're now officially ECW, correct?
I do realize that I am now officially ECW. It may not sit well with some people, but, you know, it's something that I guess had to be done. I kind of, you know, it is.
Oh shit! Here comes the shade. Here comes the shade. Are you ready, Joe? Here comes the shade from the CEO. Are you ready for this? Go ahead, CEO.
Not,
I know it's coming.
Not so much as shade, because I do have at least one more match I'd like to announce the winners to. Congratulations to our first time Unified Tag Team Champions, the Raging Rednecks, Kenny. I mean, the Raging Rednecks, Redneck Kenny and Redneck Ray for winning the Unified Tag Team Championships last Sunday night. Kudos to those guys. Those guys were originally the number one seed. My former partner, Deuce Fontaine, and I did everything in our power to put a monkey wrench in that. But what can I say? The better team won. So congrats to the Raging Rednecks. We will be expecting those terms that you agreed to shortly for winning the tag team championships, gentlemen. But I don't mean to bander on and talk on. I will be taking questions here shortly. If nobody noticed, Extreme Authority is no longer a team.
Mm-hmm.
Much to my dismay and much to my regret, Mr. Deuce Fontaine and I did not win the tag team championships this past weekend because, honestly, ECW is a failure. It has been a failure from the beginning. It will be a failure in the end. Pay attention, Joe, because this pertains to you. As I said before in a stat earlier this week, Deuce Fontaine and myself know each other better than anybody else in this group. And when we tag teamed, we ate together, we trained together, we watched matches together, we studied tape together, and I now know every single move that Deuce Fontaine has planned. So, if you didn't get the memo, the war between Unified and ECW is back into effect. And I ask anyone who is involved with ECW, where's your CEO? Where's your leader? I mean, think about it. Unified has been featured on WrestleTalk. How many weeks? A month? 5 weeks? 6 weeks, give or take? Your CEO of Unified, your alpha of the pack, hasn't been on this line one time. I, the CEO of Unified, whether I win or I lose, have represented Unified each and every single week. So what does that tell you? If your leader can't show up when there's a time to be shown, then what does that really hold for you, Joe? Huh? Your leader, your alpha of the pack, nowhere to be found on WrestleTalk. Come on, man. This is exposure. This is the main time to make your cause. But I, the CEO of Unified, have been here each and every week. So, with that being said, I'll leave it at this. The war will end with Unified on top. I don't care about Vacant. I don't care about Kit Kat. I don't care about Sunny Mafia Mayo. I don't care about the Queen of Extreme, and I sure as hell don't give a damn about the alpha of the pack, Deuce Fontaine. As I said before, and I say again, Unified is united. I extended my apologies to each and every single one of my Unified members who seemed that I felt like that I betrayed them. Unified is back on the same page. I have my soldiers. I have my crew. We're ready for war. When we make the first move, you'll know about it. But in the meantime, before I take questions, there is some business that I would like to discuss with the board of directors this upcoming Friday, since Unified and ECW are back within the war. We have some technicalities that need to be worked out. That way, nobody gets hurt and everybody's covered. So, this Friday, I will have a meeting with the board of directors concerning some issues that I might have, and hopefully the board of directors will show up to that meeting. Isn't that right, Mr. Rene Martinez?
Well, Mr. CEO, there's not much that can be said to dispute anything that you've said up to this point. You've shown up every week to WrestleTalk, and Mr. Fontaine has not. But I can also say this. Mr. Fontaine played you like a fiddle, sir. You see, ECW has only become stronger through all this turmoil and all this controversy surrounding Extreme Authority. On the other hand, Unified is no longer Unified. King Jarobi wants nothing to do with you. Raging Redneck Kenny wants nothing to do with you. Miss Queen of Tricks, Patricia, wants nothing to do with you. So if you ask me, the board of directors, I believe that Deuce got one over on you. And I'm anxious to see how this meeting between us three goes on Friday. Because if I know Deuce Fontaine the way that I do, he is going to do everything in his power to make your life a living hell. And I'm tired of bailing your ass out, DeJuan Mills. You go, you act all big and bad, you try to make yourself seem invulnerable, somebody that can't be touched, you make all the decisions, you make all the calls for this group, and I gotta give you some respect for this. This group has gotten big, and it has gotten pretty damn entertaining. We brought on some fantastic people to join the group. I hope you're ready, because this war is back on. And only the biggest and baddest wrestlers, superstars, UXT superstars, and divas will survive, because there has been bloodshed, and I'm sad to say that there will definitely be some more before this is all said and done. Good luck, Mr. CEO. I hope you know what you got yourself into.
Don't look at the mere surface, Mr. Martinez. Trust me, there's a lot of layers to this war and to my strategy that only I know about. But I appreciate your support, and I appreciate you, sir, for your cooperation. Mr. Nightmare Jones, do you have any questions for me, sir, before we wrap this up?
The only question that I have is, you know, like the board of directors was saying, you know, Renee was saying, you kind of alienated a lot of people. How are you going to get them back on your side? Well, the ECW, we are unified. We are united, except for me and Vacant, which that is going to all end on Monday night when me and Vacant have a match to squash all of the beef that him and me and Death Squad have, and ECW will be united once again. How are you going to get these people back onto your side?
I've said it before, and I will say it one more time. Everything that I've done, everything that I do, and everything that I plan to do in the future is what's best for business. Ultimately, in the end, those who are involved will agree with me. You can better believe that.
All right. That was the only question that I have for you, sir.
I appreciate you gentlemen having me on. You're doing a pretty good job without Triple R, Rick Rose Revolution on the line. Proud of you guys. You're keeping the show afloat. Doing a damn good job. Kudos to you both.
He is in New Orleans.
Thank you, sir.
Having fun. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I was hoping he was going to call in, but I'm not sure what's going on. I'm getting a message that says they're experiencing an issue with the host and guest line, so I don't know if people can't call in. I don't know, because we don't have anybody else from Unified on the line. It's just me, you, and Renee.
Well, technical difficulties are technical difficulties. Technology is infallible. Things happen. I'm pretty sure you guys will fix that issue.
Yes. Well, thank you once again.
Appreciate your time, Mr. CEO.
Yes, thank you for your time, and we always look forward to the CEO calling in, because you never know what the CEO is going to say.
It's always been a pleasure, gentlemen.
Especially when he comes on and announces El Mata Ratas as the longest reigning unified heavyweight champion of all time. That, in the words of my man Triple R, is too sweet.
Adios, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep. All right, so...
Hey, Joe, real quick, how does it feel to be called a champ?
You know, it feels awesome. You know, I've worked hard at it.
As the longest reigning unified heavyweight champion of all time. That.
Like I said, things are going crazy tonight. You know, I had a lot of crazy stuff going on, and I was just really, really, really glad that I was able to win.
Well, there was a point last night in our competition that you were down, 2 points to Rick?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And then what was the match that turned it around real quick?
Like I said, the match that turned it around was the damn Seth Rollins match. Rick had picked John Cena, and I had picked Seth Rollins, and the way that we do the picks, because it was for 2 championships, it was worth 4 points. And when Seth Rollins walked out with both belts, that gave me 4 points, so that gave me 2 points ahead of Rick. And then the Kevin Owens match, he picked Cesaro to win, and I picked Kevin Owens, so that gave me 3 points over Rick. So that pretty much set me over to be the ECW United States champion.
Yeah, definitely crazy that we would have one match. And I found myself in a similar position as in Matarazzo's character for this group. I actually had 2 championships on the line, the Unified Heavyweight Championship, which is what most people know as the World Heavyweight Championship, and then the Warrior's Heart Championship, which most people know as the Big Gold Championship that Triple H, Booker T, and Ric Flair are known for. And for those of you out there that have no idea what the hell we're talking about these last 20 minutes, what the hell are these guys talking about? I didn't see no Dwan Mills, no CEO, and no... Listen, we happen to be a part of a group where all of us get together through Facebook for the most part, also on Twitter, and we develop these characters and we cut promos, hashtag WWE Unified Chapter on YouTube. And we basically just have a blast. Joe's been a part of the group now for a couple of months. He's had some ups and he's definitely had some downs. The up being last night. I mean, geez Louise, dude, you finally got yourself a championship after working and fighting so damn hard. And long story short, man, we're all crazy wrestling fans, have been since we were little kids. In my case, I veered away from wrestling for a couple of years and came back on a few years ago with the CM Punk Undertaker feud with the urn and all that jazz. I'm sure you guys remember that. And since then, it's been nothing but fun. Dwan started the group back in 2014. It started as just about 4 or 5 of them. Now we're up over 40 people. And really, we just come on. We get to know each other out of character and in character. We've got some crazy people in the group. We've got a guy named King Jarobi. We've got Nightmare Jones, who is Joe Lance. Rick Rose Revolution, who has his own little segment called Uncontrolled with Rick Rose, some of the funniest crap you've ever seen. We've got a badass 1% biker guy. His name is Bacon, and his lovely wife, Kit Kat, the Queen of Extreme. You never know what to expect from her. And the always psychotic Deuce Fontaine of ECW. So, guys, if you don't have the information yet, just look this up on Facebook, WWE Universe Unified /ECW Chapter, on Twitter at WWE Unified Chap, CHAP. So yeah, check us out. We have a lot of fun. If you're a wrestling fan and can cut promos and stuff, which we all know you do in the morning, we all get in front of the mirror and act like we're all macho, man. If you ever felt like you could do that and take it to the next level, man, please check us out. It is a fun, fun time. And we do some pretty badass promos, Joe. I know you saw the promo package that I did with King Jarobi right before the match. You got to tell me what you thought about that before we move on.
I thought that was awesome. I've been following you and King Jarobi, with the whole pie in the face and the whole hot omelet that he gave you and just all that stuff. And it was just... It was a great build up to yours match last night, and that package was freaking awesome. I enjoyed watching that.
Well, I'm glad that you did, because we aimed to entertain. I legitimately took a rock bottom. I legitimately speared the hell out of him and into a little kiddie swimming pool. So again, folks, check us out. We're on multiple platforms: YouTube, hashtag WWE Unified Chap on Twitter, WWE Unified Chapter, and again on Facebook, WWE Universe Unified /ECW Chapter. So yeah, with that being said, man, SummerSlam was a blast. Survivor Series, we're doing it at Vacant, aka the Dead Man's House. I cannot wait to see it. Joe, I really wish you lived closer, because I think you could really, really enjoy yourself if you came out with us one of these days.
One of these days, I will show up. You never know when it's gonna happen. I'm the type of guy that just shows up out of the blue and just shocks the hell out of everybody. So you never know. You never know.
That would be a treat. That would be a damn treat.
It would be. It would be. All right. So are you ready to get into some Monday Night Raw, sir?
Let's do it, baby.
Monday Night Raw last night was actually one of the better Monday Night Raws. You had some debuts. You had Sting show up at the end, which I think pretty much everybody kind of figured that Sting was going to be underneath the curtain thing, and that sets up the whole Sting against Seth Rollins at Night of Champions, and, you know, just some crazy stuff. All I gotta say, the match, the show started off with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, and of course, you know, Paul Heyman is the master on the microphone. He is, you're not gonna find any person better on the microphone than Paul Heyman. When they put Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar together, that was a smart, smart idea, because Brock Lesnar is the muscle, Paul Heyman is the mouth. Because if you ever tried to hear Brock Lesnar talk on the microphone, it usually doesn't go over so well. But anyways, so they're doing their thing with, you know, talking about how The Undertaker tapped out and whatnot. And then poor Mr. Bo Leave. He got killed.
Do you know when his funeral is? I'm waiting to see when his funeral is, because, damn.
Yeah, and it was so funny, because if you go onto his Wikipedia, they actually have it listed that he died last night at the hands.
I saw that, dude. That was so
yeah,
rad.
Somebody went into Wikipedia, and they changed it to where he had died. What did you think of the opening segment?
Well, basically, I'll just pick up where I left off earlier, man. I just think anything that Paul Heyman touches is absolute gold. And when he came on with Brock Lesnar Monday night, last night, it just reaffirmed how he made me feel on Sunday night. I felt like, as much as I love Undertaker, that Undertaker took the shortcut, the easy way out, and pretty much Undertaker came across like a bitch to me. And I was dying to see if Undertaker would come out and face Undertaker on Monday Night Raw, because Paul Heyman was like not at Survivor Series, not at WrestleMania, not at Night of Champions, but tonight. I was like, oh shit, it's the night after SummerSlam, anything can happen, and a lot of things did happen, but unfortunately it wasn't Undertaker who came out, it was Slow Dallas. And I call him Slow because I think he's got to be slow to have come out. And he took one of the nastiest, most vicious beatings that I've seen in a very long time, probably since John Cena got ate up by Brock Lesnar a couple of months ago. It was fun to watch, and what was great is that he left the ring multiple times and then went back and hit him a few more times. And then that one last time, Paul Heyman was like, come on, one more, just for me, one for me. And boom, F-bot. Dude, it was so funny, but at the same time, I think that Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman made their point and say, hey, you might have got us, but you sure as hell didn't beat us.
Exactly. I would have to say the exact same thing. Then, of course, we came out with the Lucha Dragons against the New Day, and, you know, like you were saying, the New Day, they're this comical group. Like, you never know what they're going to do. They come out with harmonicas, they come out singing, playing with the trombone, and, you know, it was a entertaining match. Now, let's go back to what you thought of the match, because it was a pretty short match. What did you think of the match?
Well, listen, I couldn't tell you that much about the match. I really... Who they fight? Didn't they fight Lucha Dragon? I don't even look. It doesn't even matter, dude. The trombone, the trumpet,
The intro.
Yes.
Dude, I'm telling you, the New Day has got it going on, and they're freaking entertaining. And they did it in front of the New York crowd. And at one point, the crowd was actually chanting, New Day rocks. New Day.
Yes.
Dude, you go over in New York, you are over, dude. New Day is absolutely hilarious. They're entertaining, and they're pretty damn good wrestlers. Not to mention that Big E continues to develop his moveset. Big E's always been a badass, and Xavier Woods is what Paul Heyman is to Brock Lesnar. Xavier Woods is to New Day. He is the mouthpiece. He keeps things so interesting and so funny. Man, I can't wait to see more of those guys. And honestly, I couldn't even tell you two things about the match. I totally even forgot who they faced. I think it was the Lucha Dragons. But I do remember that the Tyson and Darren Young were ringside, and they were sucking on some sour grapes. But yeah, man, New Day was definitely entertaining. They're a lot of fun. And I can't wait to see what they do next. And honestly, now with what happened at the end of that match and some rumors that I hear about the Usos coming back, the tag team division...